Bloomberg government has compiled a list of the top 200 federal contractors of the last fiscal year. It's found some surprising trends. First off, it learned the government spent 3.1% less on contracts in fiscal 2014 than in 2013, when the government had to contend with sequestration. Duncan Amos is a quantitative analyst at Bloomberg Government, and he joins us now with more on this list. Duncan, great to have you with us.
Thank you for having me.
So, first of all, explain why overall spending was down slightly in fiscal 2014.
Well, I think there are two major reasons. One, of course, is just a drawdown in Afghanistan and Iraq. So as the U.S. is pulling out, they're spending less money on war funding, and they're buying less big weapon systems. But at the same time, the past 3 years or so, we've had some pretty contentious budget debates. There's a huge focus on reining in the budget, and that's just hitting contractors.
And looking at your list, I mean, of course, you see the familiar names at the top, like Lockheed Martin, again, number one, Boeing, General Dynamics, Raytheon. But looking at it all, 200, how much has it changed from year to year?
Well, not that much. You can actually see that the top 10, for example, are the same top 10 that you had last year, though, of course, the order shifts a little bit. You have seen some pretty dramatic falls. The one I really want to highlight is these log cap contractors that we had in Afghanistan, Iraq, you know, KBR, Fluor, DynCorp. You know, 2 years ago when we did this list, they were way near the top, and now they're much more down towards the middle and in the lower end. We are also seeing pretty good traction among IT companies, smaller to mid-sized IT companies that have really risen in the ranks on the list.
And with those, like KBR, I mean, what does this mean for a company like that? Of course, they're closely associated with what the military does. If the military is less active abroad, what does that mean? Are these companies nimble enough to figure out how to get contracts elsewhere?
I think so. And it's something we really highlighted last year as well, is this diversification. You are really seeing a lot of companies move into either adjacent markets or completely new markets. Maybe they're buying new companies so that they can access new contracts or access new technologies, and then, you know, offer a much larger portfolio of solutions than maybe they've been traditionally offering to the government.
What sort of sectors are appealing to them?
So what we're really highlighting this year are two major ones, IT, of course, and health, and also the merger of those two, health IT. So we really expect both the VA and Health and Human Services and the DOD to really continue to increase their spending on health IT and both health and IT separately. And that's really what we're telling people, is that these are the growth markets that we're seeing, and they're very important that you develop capabilities in these sectors.
Maybe it sounds obvious, but why are those markets growing so quickly, those three agencies?
Well, the health one, I think, makes some sense. You know, we have the Affordable Care Act, of course. That's driving some health spending. We have an aging population. We have a lot of VA modernization programs, as we do have more veterans coming back. In terms of IT, it's just the world that we're living in. Cybersecurity, of course, is a huge issue for the government, so that's driving a lot of spending. But also, just we have these legacy systems that places like the VA are trying to upgrade.
All right, and eventually they have to do that. Tell us a little bit about further down on the list. I mean, it's always interesting to see what sort of proportion of these companies are sort of things like coins and things. You know, there's the specialists. Also, what proportion are internationally based?
Well, I think we have seen less of an international base this year, and a lot of the international stuff either has to do with you know, supplying food, for example, to U.S. bases abroad. You see a lot of oil companies come and go. Typically, you have these large, you know, hundreds of million dollar contracts for oil that we buy abroad to support our efforts there. And so you'll have these international companies that will shoot up, but then they will fall back off the list next year. Kind of similar with that construction system. We'll maybe build a bunch of buildings abroad, and you'll see certain construction companies shoot way up the list, and then they'll drop off. And again, and that's just the lumpy nature of parts of contracting.
And what about things, and maybe it's just the name, but like coins and things, at least that company, it gives you the impression that, yes, it says in things, but it specializes in one thing. So how many of these big 200 contractors are really good at, you know, sort of have the market for one thing, but aren't that diverse yet?
Well, Coins and C, of course, is everyone's favorite company, and they're supplying precious metals to the Treasury. And they're one of those companies that they're just a mom-and-pop shop that really diversified in supplying these precious metals to Treasury. Now they're one of the largest contractors. You don't see a ton of that anymore. They're very niche. So, yeah, as I said, there are things like coins and things. They're also at oil companies and then construction companies. But pretty much everyone else is pretty diversified at this point.
You've also looked at how these companies stay on the top 200. Mm-hmm. What sort of vehicles are attractive to them, and what works for them?
Well, that's also something we've really been highlighting this year. We saw about one-fourth of all contracting this past year went through multiple award contracts. I think it's about $115 billion or so. And while that's a slight decrease this year from last year, a lot of it has to do with the DOD has been reining in max spending, but the civilian agencies are still pushing for them. So we can really expect greater max consolidation. We saw some of that this year. We're going to see some of that going forward, we believe, as the government looks to curb contract duplication. So these large, we highlight some other examples, such as the Alliant contract, for example, helped a lot of companies increase their rankings. So we do think that these MACs are very important. Schedule 70, Seaport E, Alliant. These are large contract vehicles that are helping a lot of companies do very well.
And does that mean that sort of the single contracts are becoming less important?
It's not that they're becoming less important. I think this also has to do with the shift of how we're purchasing things. So in the past, when we were on a war footing, for example, we were buying these big weapons programs, and those typically went through single award contracts that would help these companies shoot way up. Now the government's more focused on services and IT, and that is easier for them to procure through MACs. So it's becoming a larger share because of the things that the government is buying is changing.
We're speaking with Duncan Amos. He's a quantitative analyst at Bloomberg Government. And of course, lists like these are always tricky. They tell you a lot about the past, fiscal 2014. I'm wondering, though, you've been doing this for a few years. What does this say about, or what sort of good predictions can you make about what's happening right now in 2015 and then in 2016?
Mm-hmm. So 2015, we've actually seen, and we're only almost 6 months in, what we've really seen is a huge push for mergers and acquisitions. And it isn't just larger companies buying smaller companies that we've seen in the past, but already in 2015, for example, we've seen AECOM and URS. They were both on the list, and now they're merging. You had Alliant Tech Systems and Orbital Sciences. Again, they were both on the list, and now they're Orbital ATK. Ingility bought Task. Harris is buying Gefelis. So what you're seeing is that as there's been some more certainty in the market, we're pretty confident that there's going to be some more, and as the market continues to shrink, we're going to see a little bit more consolidation among the companies. And what we're really seeing for the first time, as I said, is not just these bigger companies that might be buying a smaller company that maybe has a cybersecurity expertise and looking to go into the market, that you're seeing these large companies that were both on 200 lists merging and becoming these behemoths that they're able to compete against other larger companies.
Yeah, so it's really a consolidation. And given the fact that there was sequestration in 2013, there was a let up in 2014, but still on the books, what does that mean for these companies overall?
Good question. So I've been telling people that this year has been a year of greater certainty and predictability, but that's really just a relative term compared to, exactly as you said, 2013, when we had sequestration, we had the government shutdown. Companies are able now to plan a little bit more, so we have these high-level numbers. We are seeing some effects of sequestration. We saw in the aircraft market, for example, aircraft market way down. Part of it has to do with lumpy nature, but we do think that sequestration that was signed in 2013 impacted contracts in 2014. Going forward in 2015, you might not see those effects anymore.
And agencies are already talking, they have to, about 2017.
Absolutely.
I'm just wondering, from a vendor's perspective, when they get a list like this, is this helpful in planning that far ahead?
I think so. I think, but for a couple of reasons. One, of course, is that we've been talking about market consolidation. We've talked about the importance of multiple award contracts. What we haven't really talked about is that set-asides have been growing. There are recent rules that are promoting greater small business set-asides on these multi-award contracts. And so this is a way that companies can look at this list and maybe find, you know, not just who their competitors are, but also partnering opportunities. So it might be maybe a smaller company. I'm on a large Mac. I can get a set-aside. Maybe one of these companies is looking to partner with me, and vice versa.
All right. Very good. Duncan Amos is a quantitative analyst at Bloomberg Government. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much.